Rebbe continues to talk about the centrality of Yerushalayim. And it talks about, although it doesn't mention Yerushalayim by name, so it never actually clearly specifies Jerusalem, but it does talk about a place that God will choose. And that's a subject for another day, why the Jewish people did not initially know where this place was going to be, and why only at a certain point it became known to us. As it says in chapter 12, verse 11, V'hoya ha-mokem asher yivchar Hashem l'keichem boi, this place that God will choose it, will choose in it, what will he choose? That his l'shaken shmei sham, that his name should rest there. Shama saviyu eskol asher anechi mitzav eschem. That's where you'll bring all the things that I command you, v'leisechem, the ascent offerings, v'zivcheichem, and the shlamim offering, ma'asreisechem, the trumas yedchem. The Meiser, the special Meiser that has to be brought to Yerushalayim, which is Meiser Sheni, as well as the Truma of your hands, which refers to Bikurim, V'kol Mivchor Nidrechem, all of the choicest of your offerings, Asher Tidru LaHashem, that you will offer up to Hashem. So Rashi says, V'hoya Hamokim V'goymer, what's this business of this place that God will choose? B'nu Lechem Beis HaBchira, you should build yourself a chosen home. And where will that be? It will be in Yerushalayim. We have something similar, which is found, a similar allusion with regard to David HaMelech. This is found in the book of Shmuel. Right in the beginning of the seventh chapter of the second book, it says, it came to pass that when the king sat in his house, and God had left him from all around, all of a sudden everybody was quiet. So to speak, the pressure was over Mikalevav, from all the enemies. At this time, when the king was living in tranquility in his capital city, so David HaMelech communicates to the prophet, his name is Nasan, and he says, I'm sitting in a beautiful home of cedar, and the ark of Hashem is only surrounded with curtains, is in a tent. And David HaMelech, at this point, wants to build the Beis HaBechira. So we see that once the Jewish people reach the special place that Hashem has designated for them, what's supposed to happen? It's supposed to build a chosen home. And when you build this chosen home, Shama Taviyu, that's the place you'll bring. It says Rashi, Lamaila Amur Le'inyan Shiloh. Earlier we said something similar, but that was referred to Shiloh, where the Mishkan stood for 369 years. V'chan Amur Le'inyan Yerushalayim. And here the Torah seems to repeat itself, but here the Torah is referring to the city of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, which is the eternal and permanent resting site of the Shekhinah. That's where the Torah divides the two. The twice it says what seems to be the same thing. Litin hayeser ben zu lezu, to tell us that there will be a time in between from one to the other. Mishachar v'shiloi, from when Shiloh is destroyed. Obo l'noiv, they'll come to Loiv, which is the city of Koyanim. And after the Mishkan had stood in Shiloh for 369 years, an enormous amount of time. After the Mishkan stands there for this enormous amount of time, so then after it comes to Noiv, and Noiv it stands for 13 years, then Chorva Noiv, eventually Noiv is destroyed. Ubo le Givon, it comes to Givon, and Givon the Mishkan stood for 44 years. And for all this time, for the entire 57 years, Hayahabam is Mutaris, it was allowed to bring Karbanis in people's own private areas. You didn't have to only bring korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan or in the place of worship. Achaboli Yerushalayim, until they came to Yerushalayim. So since there was a 57-year gap in which bamas were permitted, that's what the Torah divides between the first statement and the second statement, and that's why it seems to be repetition of what we read yesterday. Nivche nedrechem, melamed, shiavio min hamuvchar. This teaches us you have to bring from the finest, from the choice, and from the best. Torah goes on to say about Yerushalayim and about the Beis Hamikdash, "Smachtem lufnei Hashem aleikechem, you'll rejoice before Hashem your God. Atem uvneichem uvneisechem v'avdeichem, you, your sons, your daughters, and your servants, v'ameisehem, your maidservants, v'alevi asher b'sharechem, and the Levi who's living in your gates. Ke'ein lechelik v'nachlit, come, why is it your responsibility to put the Levi in there? Because the Levi does not have a portion of Eretz Yisrael." The one thing that's missing here is your wife. That says your sons, your daughters, it says your servants. It doesn't say your wife over here. How come the pasuk doesn't say your wife? So the Netziv says very simple. Because we know that Misha Shari B'lei Isha, Shari B'lei Simcha. A person who doesn't have a wife doesn't have joy. So of course, it's self-understood. you cannot can have joy if a person is not going to be together with his wife. That's self-understood. So it says, Sumachtim lefneshem alekechem, atem, atem is you and your wife. And then in addition to you and your wife, then the addition is your children. Sometimes children give you grief. Nonetheless, the Torah says, ideally, the true happy family is when you're together with your children as well. Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Torah goes on to say now, after discussing Yerushalayim and emphasizing the importance of the central location of how you must come and celebrate only in the city of Yerushalayim, Hishomer lecha, better watch it, Pentala ilisecha b'chol makim, lest you bring any of your offerings in any other place, b'chol makim ashatira, in any place that you might see. Rashi says, Hishomer lecha, until now it was a positive mitzvah. The Torah was telling you what you should do. At this point, Litain loisa shala dover. At this point, the Torah is telling us what we're not allowed to do. Here it becomes a loisa say. Here it becomes a negative commandment, something which is we are proscribed from doing. You'll come into your heart. The person will say, "Oh, I feel like doing this." So if it's your own heart, you decide, you think this is a good idea. Okay, that's not good. That the Torah says is prohibited. But if a navi were to come and tell you that such a thing is permissible, so then that would be okay. Kigoyin, for example, when did this happen in our history? Eliyahu Bahara Carmel, Eliyahu Anavi at Mount Carmel, when he had to bring a korban in order to demonstrate the power of Hashem and to do away with Nevi Habal. So in that case, Eliyahu Anavi was permitted to bring a korban in Har Carmel, even though it's far away from Har Meria and outside of Yerushalayim. So this is the emphasis why it says Yishamer Lecha. Yishamer Lecha, that means you should have your own idea that you'll decide that you wish to bring this. You think it's a good idea for you. The Maharal of Prague says in the Sefer Gurariya and Rashi, it doesn't mean Chol Makam Ashatira, that you actually have you see something. Like you see the Shechina, or you see some kind of compelling evidence that the carbon can be brought elsewhere. But rather, it's a real of obvious, he says. It's like a seeing heart. Sometimes you just feel, sometimes you know, or you think you know. You think you have a feeling, you think this could be the right thing. But in fact, that's not the case, and it's not a good thing. So therefore, the Torah says, in such an instance, such an example, that would not be appropriate. Rather, ki im ba'mokem asher yivcha Hashem, only in the place that Hashem has chosen, ba'achad sha'arecha, in one of your tribes, shomtala ilesecha, that's where your sent offerings should be brought, v'shomtaseh, koil asher anochi mitzavecha, that's where you should do all the things that I command you. Where is Ba'achad Shvatecha? What does this mean? That it'll be in one of your tribes. It's an area that's within one of your tribes. So according to Rashi, Bechelkesh of Binyamin. This refers to the territory of Binyamin, because the Har HaMeriah itself was in the territory of Binyamin. Ulamayla, earlier he says, Mikol Shivtechem. He talks about this proverbial central location, and he says, it'll be from all of your tribes. HaKetzad, how does that work? So Rashi explains, Kishakona, David is HaGerdon. When David brought the threshing ground, Me'aravna HaYavusi, from the Jezuvite who was living there, who had, the Jewish people had left alone for the first few centuries after their arrival in Eretz Yisrael. So when he bought the threshing grounds and paid top dollar for it, Gova HaZov Mikol HaShvatim, David HaMelech made sure that everybody participated equally in the fundraising effort. And Mikol Makim, but nonetheless, HaGerdon HaYavachelke Shel Binyamin. So the Gerdon, the threshing grounds themselves, were owned by each and every one of the Shvatim. However, the area was within the territory of Binyamin. This is the opinion of Rashi. That's the meaning of Bachad Sha'arecha. Not everybody agrees. We have the Balaturim who says that Bachad Shvatecha is Bigematria Shevet Yehuda. And we know that the area of Yerushalayim is in the area of Yehuda. So that's not to be understood as Binyamin, but rather the area, it's not specific of the locale of where the Beis HaMikdash is, but rather the general area, which refers to the concept of Yehuda. At any rate, so Yerushalayim does have a specific parochial nature to it, at least in its location. However, the Har HaBayis and Yerushalayim itself ultimately belongs to all of Yisrael. And that's where you have to go. Torah now interrupts and says, "Like b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basa." It doesn't mean you have to eat meat only in the Beis Hamikdash or in Yerushalayim. You can eat meat as you please, as you desire, wherever you are. V'achalta basa, you can eat meat kibirches Hashem alikecha, asher nosan lecha b'chol sharecha, that He has given you in any of your gates. Hatame v'ator yechlenu, the pure and impure are able to eat together. Katzvi u'cha'ayo, like a deer and like a gazelle. So the question, of course, is what is going on over here? Why is the Torah talking about eating meat? So Rashi says, you have to understand, that this is a very, very case-specific pasuk. B'cholav asnafshcha means b'mei akosav v'daber. What is the pasuk talking about over here? Im b'psar taiva. If it means that the idea of eating meat in general, la'atid or lehem, to permit them, because in the midbar they were not permitted to eat meat outside of karbonos. But lo yakarav asim wudum, when you don't bring the special parts and burn them on the mizbeach. Hadayu Eimer, he says, b'makamache, he already says earlier. And he says later, ki yarchav Hashem alekecha, here Rashi is quoting from chapter 20 of Book of Deuteronomy, that when Hashem will broaden and make your borders more spacious, v'yamarta, you'll say, eich labasa. So b'mezeh medaber, what is this talking about? And says Rashi, this is talking about b'kodshim shenoflu behemum. Behema, an animal that was designated for use in the Beis HaMikdash. We know the halacha is that you're not allowed to bring a blemished animal as a korban. So what happens if an animal was designated as a korban and then it got a blemish? What do you do now? What you do with it? You can't bring a korban. So the Torah says, in this case, in this instance, what happens is you're able to be paid there, you're able to redeem it. So you padu, ve'yayachlu b'chol makim, and it can be eaten anywhere. Yochel, you might think you padu al muma iver, that you can redeem it, even if it has a passing blemish. Tamad lema rak. Rak is only one case. When is that case? When there is a mum, irreparable damage, which happens to the animal. Tizbach v'achalta. Ein l'cha behem heter giza v'cholav. When you have this animal who is redeemed from the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot raise the animal afterwards and shear its wool if it's a sheep, or take its milk if it's a goat, and so on and so forth. Ela, achila ayidei zvicha. The only thing you can do an animal who was designated for the Mishkan, for the Beis HaMikdash, you take him, and you can use him, you can eat the meat. And then, even though it was a korban, which had very specific limitations and restrictions, now it could be hator v'atomei. L'fisho bo mekeach kodshim, because it came from a background in which it was designated to use in the Beis HaMikdash, shenemar behem ezeret v'basra shiga b'chol tamer le'yochel, the meat will touch anybody who's not, anything which is not pure. It becomes not allowed to be eaten, because if a korban is defiled, automatically, it's off limits, and you're not allowed to eat it anymore. So maybe you'll think the same halacha extends to the korban even after it's no longer a korban, since it was in that kind of situation where it was a korban and it had these restrictions. These restrictions will continue to apply even when it's not a korban. You might think so. So therefore, hutzrach lahatir bay, the Torah has to come and permit it. Shahatome va'ator, that the pure and the impure, eichlim b'kayda achas, they can eat in one plate, so to speak. In other words, katzvi v'cha'ayel, just like a gazelle and a deer. Why do we take the example of a gazelle and a deer? Because those are animals that can never be brought as a korban. So just like there's never going to be a restriction with a gazelle and a deer of eating it in a state of purity and not a state of purity, because there's no bechor, there's no halacha of firstborn, and you're not allowed to designate it for the mizbeach, so there's no issue whatsoever. So just like there's no issue whatsoever over there, so too over here, katzvi v'cha'ayel. Another thing it teaches us, lefatran min hazreya l'chayim v'keva. There's a halacha, the Torah, that says that when you have an animal that's slaughtered, you have to give the foreleg and the jaw and the stomach to the kohen. But that applies to a behema, to a domesticated animal, like a sheep or a goat or a cow. But it does not apply to a gazelle or a deer. And even though this animal now is a regular behema, and it was kachim, but it's no longer kachim, so now it should be permissible. Nonetheless, the Torah says that the original... there is a holdover, there is a leftover restriction or limitation, and that here you don't have to give the zroya, the lochayayim, and the keva, the special parts, which are usually designated for the koyim.
Well, it was restricted anyway,
here in the gazelle,
right?
Is not restricted. You can eat it to as much as you want. You just have to catch it first, that's all.
Pardon?
You have to catch it first.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Good luck. And you can't use a bow and arrow.
It's kosher, but not allowed.
That's correct.
Yeah.
There's no korbanos from that. Now, you might think that since the blood was going to be on the Mizbeach, and now the blood is not on the Mizbeach, so that became permissible to you. Torah comes along and says, no, rak adam leisechelu, don't eat the blood. The blood can't be consumed. Rather, alaretz tishpachenu kamoyim, says Rashi, af al pi shamarti, shein lecha boi zrikas dam b'mizbeach, even though this is an animal whose blood was designated to be dashed on the Mizbeach, and it would become the concept of an atonement. And now it's been removed from the Mizbeach, so therefore it would be permissible. It's entirely lifted from its restrictions. Rashi says, yes, generally speaking, that is true, but not with regard to the blood. The blood remains prohibited. Loi toichlenu, you're not allowed to eat it. What should you do? Tishpachenu kamayim. What does it mean? It was spilled like water? Because it spilled like orange juice. What does it mean, spilled like water? Why does they have to say that? Lema l'cha to tell you, shein tzarech kisui, that this blood does not have to be covered over. So usually we say a wild animal, when it gets shechted like a deer and a gazelle, you have a mitzvah of kisui adam, you have a mitzvah of covering over the blood, because any animal which is not brought as a korban, you have a mitzvah of covering over the blood. So in that case, you have to cover over the blood here because it's not a korban. No, Tanya says, no. Over here, it, in some ways, it's like the deer and the gazelle. In some ways, it's not. And therefore, the Torah tells you, tishpachanu kamoyim, that it can be spilled out. It doesn't have to be covered over. We have this halacha that there are certain liquids which make something susceptible to receiving ritual impurity. One of those seven liquids is dam, and this dam, even though it's dam kodshim, would nonetheless also apply. And so the Torah now reiterates in verse 17, loy suchal, you just can't. Loy suchal lecha b'sherecha, you cannot eat these things in your own gates. Maisa de goncha, the maisa, the tithes which are taken of your dagon, tireishcha, of your wine vats, v'yitzarecha, and of your oil, of your the pressed olives which turn into oil, l'b'cheres tzeincha. According to Ben Yerushalayim, that's the only truma min ha-teira, is only by wine and by grapes and olives. U'b'cheres b'karcha, and your firstborn of your cattle, v'tzeinecha, and of your sheep, v'chol nidarecha, and all of the things that you commit, donations that you make, asher tider, which you are going to vow and make a commitment to Hashem, v'nidveisecha, and the things which you obligate, you're going to bring this animal, v'trumas yodecha, and the truma which Rehoi refers to bikurim, all of these things may not be eaten, le'suchol, says Rashi. The Torah emphasizes by a cost of leaving leisas eladaver. In addition to what we said before, a bunch of positive mitzvahs, Torah secondly reiterates a second time, leisuchal, you cannot do this. What's leisuchal? You can't. Say don't. What's leisuchal? You can't. What do you mean I can't? So Rashi said, what does that mean, leisuchal? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, yachal, of course you can. You can do whatever you want. Avalata in charashoy, but it's not appropriate. Kayetzubay, something similar. Vesayivusi Yeshve Yerushalayim. There was a Jezevite family living in Yerushalayim. La Yachlu bnei Yehuda Lairishim. The children of Yehuda, the tribes of people of Yehuda, could not inherit them. What does it mean they can't inherit them? They couldn't inherit them. One little family, a whole massive nation. Jewish people could oust them in a moment. Yechelim hayu. Of course they could have. They had the military might. El Sheinah Rashoyim. It wasn't appropriate. Why wasn't it appropriate? Vishakarislam Avram Bris, because Avram Avinu had cut a covenant with them. Kishalakach mehem Arus HaMachpelah, when he bought from them the Arus HaMachpelah, the Bnei Ches, so they said, only if you promise us that when you are going to come back, when your children will come back there to inherit Yisrael, that the Bnei Ches, the Hittites, are going to live in Yerushalayim, who are known as the Jezevites, even though they're really Hittites. So this Jezevite family that's going to be living the Hittites who are going to be living in what's called Ir Yevus, the Jezevite city. So the truth is, Rashi says, Leivusim, they weren't Jezevites. Leivusim ayah, Elchitim ayah, they were Hittites. Elashem ayir shemam Yevus. Why were they called Jezevites? Because the city was a Jezevite city. So since Hittites were living in the Jezevite city, and these are the Hittites who sold Maris HaMachpelah to Avram Avinu made a promise to them. Kach mefurish bepirkei d'Rabbi Elazar. This is very clear in the 36th chapter of Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar. Vehu, and that's what's written. Ki im. The David HaMelech says, "Ki im hasircha ha'avidim ha'piskim," that after the Jezevites had violated their deals and it became allowed for the Jewish people to come in, so they had placed these large icons, these large symbols. What were these slumim? These large symbols, and they wrote upon it, as a memory of the shavua that Avram Avinu had made. And what did they show? What was the imagery? The imagery was invoking the memory of Yitzchak, who was blind, and of Yaakov, who is lame. And their message was, can't do this, we're protected, because you set up to four generations, and the king of Yevus, whatever, the little magistrate who was ruling this area, was the fourth generation of the Hittite. And since he was the fourth generation of a Hittite, you made a promise, so you can, but you really can't. That's what Rashi says. Question, of course, is, why is that necessary? Why does Rashi have to go into this whole adichas of yochalata? You can't. You kind of can't. You can't. You could, but you can't. You can't. Torah says you can't do it. Finish. Don't do it. So the Rebbe says in the Biuri HaChumash on page Kuf Samachay Yudbei is Habitu Leisuchal. This expression Leisuchal. It's not the first time in the Torah we have this. There's a number of times. It says, for example, when the Jewish people were told they couldn't go on to Mount Sinai. Leyuchal Ha'am La'alis La'ar Sinai. Hashem says you don't have permission to go on Mount Sinai. It says Leyuchal. Or it says Leisuchal Lirei says Panai. You cannot see my face. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to see Hashem's countenance, says, no, you can't see it. I don't mean that, don't give permission. Or Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, "Le'uchal oy, latzis v'lavi, I cannot take you out and bring you in." In other words, behave as a leader. Now that's been taken from me. Yehoshua, Joshua, has been placed in my stead. What's the big deal here? Rashi gives us this whole story with Jesuvites and blind and lame and a ma'aseh with Maris HaMachpelah and a promise. You could, but you can't. You think you could, but really you can't. What is it talking about? And also, why do I need to have this length, this whole lengthy thing? Yochalata, maybe could. Ein charashoy, it's not appropriate. Had a nitl afasha miktzari. Could have said it very simple, plain and simple. Lo yisuchal. Two words. Ein charashoy. It's not appropriate. That's all. And Deb asked a number of other questions. Due to the shortness of time, we're going to go straight to the explanation. Clearly, the Rebbe says the loisuchal here is telling us something unique. There's something that we might have thought, and there's something that the Torah is telling us you can't, and somehow that's connected to the concept of the story of Sefer Yeshua, of the Jewish people capturing Yerushalayim. What is that? So the intention, the kavana of Rashi, in the words of Yochalata, in different words, is as follows. The very fact that there is a place which is designated as the location, the central location for the eating of Maaser and Kodshim, this is the concept of Yerushalayim. We know this. We know this because we've been reading it. The Pesukim says it again and again. We've read it about Shiloh, and then we read it subsequently this morning about Yerushalayim. So why is the Torah coming along now in verse 17 and reiterating that which it's been saying since verse 11? So the answer is that we might think, what happens if Yerushalayim doesn't become available? It's not available. You can't get there for whatever reason. Well, you still have mitzvahs to do. Yeah, so in that case, if you cannot have a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and things don't work in that central location, so we would think, so it doesn't mean you don't do the mitzvahs. You do the mitzvahs outside Yerushalayim. Do the mitzvahs in the best way you could. No Yerushalayim? Okay, no Yerushalayim. Do it the way you could do it. So Rashi says, Yochalata. Sounds reasonable. Sounds like you could. All the lot of lach of you could think should be chol to cholakayim is a mitzvah. Achilas ma'is of akodshim gam mechutz Yerushalayim. You would think you can do this even outside Yerushalayim. Yochelata, maybe you could. Akach melamed chakos of the Torah comes along and teaches you leisuchalecha b'sharecha. You cannot do this outside your gates. Efsharis kazu eina kayemes. You cannot. You think you could, but actually you cannot. Shekein or achila b'Yerushalayim michelek mohusim mitzvahs achilek ma'aser v'kodshim. Eating at Yerushalayim is a part of the mitzvah. It's not that there's a mitzvah to be done. Ideally, this mitzvah should be done in Yerushalayim. And if Yerushalayim is not available, okay, you do whatever you could do. Comes a Torah that says wrong. Location, location, location is a central part of the mitzvah. The only way the mitzvah can be done, if it's being performed in the city of Yerushalayim, achilasa mechutz Yerushalayim has no mitzvah whatsoever. And that's why Rashi has to bring the proof from the story of Yeshua with the Maisa, with Yerushalayim, of capturing Yerushalayim. That a person would say, it's a mitzvah to capture Yerushalayim. It's a mitzvah of Kibush Haaretz. And we're able. We can, and we're able. For sure we should. Comes the Torah says, no, but it's not appropriate. Why is it not appropriate? Because the Torah says it's not appropriate. Because there's an oath of Avraham Avinu that has to be respected. And until the Torah allows it, even though it's actually a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. The same is true. We have a whole slew of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that are connected to a Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvahs that are connected to a central location. Mitzvahs that are connected to what seems to be the concept of the Jewish people gathering and rallying together around a single via point, or a single place, a single geography. Comes a Torah and says, Yochalata, Avl Ein Charashoy. For my dear friends, there is no replacement for Yerushalayim ever. Yerushalayim remains the central ground zero of Jewish spirituality, and it is only in Yerushalayim that these mitzvahs can be done. That is what this is all about.